Yes, good morning and welcome. There's a smell of elections in the air this May 23rd. Sean Defoe here with you for the next hour with this News Talk election special. Ballot boxes have just opened in Dublin and Galway. Thousands of votes spilling out onto the counting tables, and hidden in those piles, the fates of the 31 candidates battling to be Ireland's next TDs. In Dublin Central, whether it's the streets of the North Inner City, out to Marylebone Country in Cabra, the leafy suburbs of Glasnevin, or down to the Three Arena in Dublin Port, 14 hopefuls battling it out to replace Pascal Donoghue. Gerry the Monk Hutch just missed out on a seat in 2024. Can he pull off a surprise today? Or will the Mary Lunatics show out and push Janice Boylan into the Dáil? Or can the Sock Dems become the fourth largest party in the Dáil through former League of Ireland footballer Daniel Ennis? The West was awake last November as Catherine Connolly romped home in the presidential election. Who's going to take her Dáil seat in a constituency that sprawls from Galway City out through Connemara up to Clifton and Cornamona? Can Fine Gael pull off that rare thing, a government by election win? Or will Independent Ireland's Noel Thomas rally the protest vote to enter the Dáil? And in the constituency that this fledgling left-wing alliance was born, can it see home a seat for the left or see a blow to their chances of a lefty government in 2029? Leaders under pressure, lots to play for, and a long count expected over this weekend. I will bring you all the latest through the weekend on News Talk through our reporters in the constituencies, and that's where we're starting this morning. We're going to go now to the RDS, where our chief reporter Barry White is there. Obviously, Barry, early days yet, boxes literally only just to open, but what's the atmosphere like there, and any news from Dublin Central so far?
Sean, good morning. Yeah, look, counting is literally now just underway in the Dublin Central by-election for the Dáil seat vacated by former Fine Gael Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue. Ballot boxes just opened 6 minutes ago following voting yesterday between 7am and 10pm. There is quite a buzz here. There's a lot of talliers from the Sock Dems. There's a lot of people tallying for Sinn Féin. There's a lot of people tallying for Fine Gael. I was actually quite surprised with the crowd here in the RDS when they opened the doors at 9am. So there is quite a buzz here. But I suppose the big story here, Sean, overnight has been turnout, or lack of it. Dublin Central has been traditionally recorded lower turnouts than many other constituencies, and by-elections generally see participation fall even further. But close of polls last night, turnout was estimated at around just 39%, significantly down on the 52% recorded in the 2024 general election. Participation has varied across the constituency, with turnout reportedly as high as 52% in Drumcondra and parts of Cabra, but falling to just 25% in parts of the North Inner City. So the electorate here has also fallen by more than 5,000 since the last general election, following a recent electoral commission campaign to remove duplicate entries, as well as voters who had emigrated or died. So that leaves an electorate of almost 58,000 people here. If turnout remains around 40%, the ballot poll is expected to be in the region of 23,000 votes, meaning the winning candidate will likely need somewhere around 11,500 votes after transfers to take the seat here. The contest, Sean, is widely seen, as we know now, as a two-horse race between the Social Democrats Daniel Ennis and Sinn Féin candidate Janice Boylan. Both parties are expressing confidence to me this morning, even though it's early days. Both seem to be confident that they can take the seat. They're telling me that they got their vote out yesterday, despite the low turnout. As I say, turnout appears to be low, but it has held up in those areas such as Cabra, Glasnevin, Drumcondra, districts expected to be in favour of Janice Boylan and Daniel Ennis. There will also be major attention, as you mentioned, on independent candidate Gerry the Monk Hutch. He came close, of course, to winning a seat in the last general election. However, the relatively low turnout in the North Inner City could damage his prospects, so tallies from that area of the Inner City will be watched very closely throughout the morning. In total, Sean, there's 14 candidates here are contesting, and counting is expected to continue throughout the day. The Dublin South West by-election, I remember that went on to about 9 o'clock a few years ago. I expect we'll get a full result here around 8 or 9 tonight.
Okay, Barry, thanks a minute for that. We'll cross to you later on in the show as well to see what those early tallies are telling us. Well, those two parties who look to be in the shake-up in Dublin Central are with me in studio, Lynn Boylan, Sinn Féin MEP, and Kino Callaghan, Deputy Leader of the Social Democrats, as well as Craig Hughes, the Political Editor with the Irish Daily Mail. Lynn, you obviously were in that 2021 by-election, so I'm sure you can feel for the candidates this morning and the nerves that are floating out there. And Janice Boylan, you'd say, possibly needs to have a bit of clear water between her and Daniel Ennis to hope to get home?
Yeah, no, and look, Janice ran a fantastic campaign. I mean, she left it all on the pitch. like, and I know what it's like to be in a by-election, as you said, because everybody's looking at the one candidate. You're not able to hide behind all the rest of the candidates across the country. So it's a very intense campaign. You know, there's a lot of media focus as well on those big debates. And I think Janice performed exceptionally well on The Week in Politics, and that stood to her. I was out canvassing in Phibsborough during the Phibsfest, and people who didn't know her were coming up and saying, actually, do you know what? I really thought you did very well on The Week in Politics, that you certainly sounded like you knew what the community needed and that you were, you know, here to represent us for the whole community. So look, fingers crossed for her. But as I said, she ran a fantastic campaign. You can't criticise her on any of it.
Keane, I'm sure you will say Daniel Ennis also ran a similarly fantastic campaign and is in a good shout this morning.
Yeah, look, we'll find out the results very shortly, but we're extremely happy with the campaign that Daniel ran. He's a fantastic candidate, very well rooted in the local community. He's been very involved in the community and sport, has been very involved in, you know, building a positive message in the community, both as the previous work he's done, but also as a candidate. He ran a very, very positive campaign. We felt that resonated very strongly with voters across the constituency. I think when you look at the turnouts from yesterday, I think there was some stronger turnouts in areas where I expect Dan to do quite well. So we'd certainly be very hopeful for today in terms of his performance.
I think the part of the difficulty, Liam, with gauging where Sinn Féin is going to be on transfers is that when you look at the general election, so many were elected near the top, first, second, third counts. And the general perception would be that Janice would be less transfer friendly than the Social Democrats. Is that something you think is fair?
Well, I think that's what was reflected in the polling that was done. But as I said, like, the fact that Janice performed so well in the media, and those people who may be in those areas that are not necessarily seen as strongholds for Sinn Féin got to see Janice and got to see her perform, I think will stand to her. But yeah, absolutely. I think every party wants to see their candidate take a large first preference, because it just gives you a little bit of a cushion then as transfers start to be distributed.
How much pressure is on Mary Lou if she doesn't win?
Look, it's a by-election, do you know what I mean? So there's two, like, Daniel is a strong candidate as well. I don't think Mary Lou is under any pressure. She was just re-elected at the Ardesh. And I have full confidence in her as leader of the party.
It is in her own backyard, though, and Janice wasn't the candidate that she wanted initially. She wanted the Gillian Sherratt to come through the selection convention and didn't.
Well,
that does speak to a sort of an undercut of authority in your own backyard, no?
Well, no, what I would say is that Sinn Féin is a democratic party, and while we get criticism and people say, oh, shady characters run Sinn Féin, actually the members decide on the candidate, and that's the way it works. And the two candidates, Mark Lohan and Janice Boylan, were the candidates that the members elected, and that's the way we do our business. Other parties, you know, just nominate candidates to run. Sinn Féin actually democratically elects through its membership who they want to contest the election.
Craig, as simple as a two-horse race, there was obviously quite a high margin of error in that poll as well, of 4%, which could be a swing here, but do you think it is a straight lefty shootout?
I do think it's a straight shootout between the two candidates, and the results could really be seismic from the Sinn Féin perspective, because if they can't get Janice Boylan elected here over a Social Democrats candidate, well, then they'll have kind of lost that kind of liberal vote that they courted for so long. I think that it'll have been eaten away at significantly. And then I think this whole transfer left business will be off the table, because they'll really need to sharpen their elbows to get ahead of that again, because they can't continue to lose that vote that they built up in 2020, which was eroded in 2024, which saw the rise of Social Democrats and Labour. So I think this vote left business will be completely off the cards after this. But yeah, it's such a difficult one to call. If you look at where the voters have turned out, and we know that decisions are made by people who turn up on the day, perhaps Janice has a slight edge going on those turnout numbers.
Well, what about that? Do you think that, Lynn, the sort of left wing of Sinn Féin is maybe eking out the... Because the general criticism of Sinn Féin lately has been, and really since you came down from the highs of the polls of in the 30s, has been over the issue of immigration. You lost some of your left voters. You had some people who were maybe a broad church and were more on the right, who are now leaking out to the likes of Independent Ireland, and that Sinn Féin is just leaky, I suppose, on both sides.
No, I think, look, as a party grows in size, I mean, your vote base grows as well. I mean, that's just the natural thing in terms of political parties. But in terms of the vote left, transfer left, I mean, I think that will continue. I mean, I've been calling for vote left, transfer left since 2014. I don't think it's going to change. I'm certainly not going to be calling for anybody to vote for Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Independent Ireland. Do you know what I mean? So anytime I'm running an election, and that's what I'm talking to Sinn Féin people is, they want to see a left-led alternative to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. So they want to see the maximum number of left-leaning politicians elected so that we get progressive change in this country, because we desperately, desperately need it.
Well, there's real fissures beginning to emerge, though. So Sean, you mentioned immigration, but also I think abortion, Lynn, will be quite a divisive issue, because the obviously Sinn Féin voted against Social Democrats maybe the last day on legislation. And I'm struggling to see how that cohesion can be maintained on the left.
As I said, we make our decisions at our desk. You know, we've just voted on the fox hunting, do you mean? And the members voted in a certain way. So I think that the vast majority of people in Sinn Féin are progressives. They want a left-led alternative government. And I'll certainly play my role within the party of making sure that that's the type of government we get in the future, because we absolutely, as a society, cannot have another Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government that has underinvested in our services, caused this housing crisis and is causing this division in society and this breakdown of social cohesion because of the fact that they have not invested in public services. So I think most people know that. The only way that you can fight back against that sort of negative politics, far-right politics, is by providing the services for people.
I think one of the things that the by-elections today are probably going to throw open is that cooperation on the left, encouraging people to transfer left, the ability to have a left-wing alternative to this government, isn't actually all about Sinn Féin. It's going to show that there's other options as well, and I think you're going to see that in both constituencies. So it's not really a discussion. I think we're going to see the Social Democrats perform strongly. I think we're going to see more and more voters looking at other options and other alternatives to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. And I think that's part of the story of the election, rather than simply a focus on what Sinn Féin are doing or not doing.
This is the problem for Sinn Féin, is that, you know, now there is suddenly more of an option on the left that wasn't really there in such strength previously. And I think if I was a Sinn Féin strategist, I'd be thinking we also have to counteract that as well. Because when it comes to a general election and it comes to actually getting seats, you know, they're going to be your big rivals now. So it can't be all nicey-nicey.
Mm. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes at the end of the day. Craig, talk to me about Gerry Hutch. Obviously, he's the big name a lot of people will want to know about in this constituency. I'm just out of the loop. I'm still no clearer as to why he wants to be a TD after two campaigns.
Or what his policies are. I think the only thing we got out of him was some kind of crass comments around immigration and a commitment for him to tell us how many houses he owns if he does get elected. So we could look forward to that if the day ever comes. His campaign was a lot more active this time than in the general elective, despite starting off in his one of his homes in Lanzarote. We haven't seen the massive upswell in voter registrations, which he had been hoping to leverage. There was only about, I think, under 1,000 new registrations in the constituency. And we would have been expecting to see, if there was a Gerry Hutch surge coming, higher turnouts in the areas of the North Inner City, for example. And we heard from Barry White there that hasn't really materialised. I do think his vote will grow, in terms of first preference share, just because if you look at the Dublin Central constituency, like the number of spoiled votes was quite high, I think around 15% during the presidential election. And I think that kind of speaks to the kind of really anti-establishment, anti-all kind of existing parties mantra. So I think he might do better than the 10% first preference votes he got last time. And it'll be interesting to see actually from the tallies, if he's picking up transfers, you know, if he goes out before, say, Sinn Féin, we won't know where, if he would have got a big portion of Janice's votes. But I'll be interested to be looking at the boxes and see, is he appearing on those transfers? Because this all points to him contesting the next general election. And if he keeps his current numbers, well, then he would get a seat.
Yeah, it's interesting, Keane, that if this shakes out the way the poll suggested it would, then it will be the elimination of Fine Gael's Ray McAdam and Gerry Hutch that would elect either of Janice Boylan or Daniel Ennis, which is a very difficult transfer pattern to predict.
Yeah, and by-elections are different in terms of transfers are important in every election, but in by-elections especially important. And I think talking to voters as well on the doors over the last couple of weeks in Dublin Central, that's very much on people's minds. You know, they could see maybe that the candidate they were going to vote for, number one, isn't going to get elected. And they were very, very mindful of where their two and three is going to go. That's not usually the same sort of feature in, you know, a general election or a local European election. So I do think, though, look, I certainly gathered from voters, a lot of voters in Dublin Central, You know, that Daniel was definitely transfer friendly, and there was a lot of interest there in terms of high transfers to him for people who weren't voting from number one as well. So I do think he's likely to do very well on transfers from all directions.
Lynn, do you think we're going to see a continuation of what we saw in the general election of transfers being a little bit more all over the place than they used to be? In that, I was talking to, for example, one campaigner who said they were knocking on a Gerry Hutch door for Fine Gael, and they were like, "Oh no, no, I'm all Gerry Hutch, but I'll give you my number two." You know what I mean? It's just we've seen these weird.
Is that a Fine Gael canvasser that told you that?
Fine Gael canvasser. we have seen weirder patterns of transfers between left and right. Like, it's not as binary maybe as transfers were in elections past.
No, I mean, I do think that the voters are more sophisticated sometimes than people give them credit for. So you do see crazy sort of voting and going, how did someone get from, you know, Gerry Hutch to Fine Gael as a number two? You do see some ballots when you're tallying. But at the same time, I agree with Keane. When I was out knocking on the doors, people were actually asking about who they should give the number two to. Do you know what I mean? And also people who were voting number one for another party and like that, knowing that their candidate was unlikely to get elected, were sort of saying, but I will give you the number two to Janice. So I think there was those who probably are a little bit more engaged and follow politics more closely were certainly thinking that strategically as to who would be best to give the number two to, who is most likely to get elected, especially if they didn't want a government candidate to get elected.
We're just out of time before my panel leaves. A quick prediction in one word for each constituency. Lynn?
Oh, sure, look, I hope there's another Boylan elected for Sinn Féin.
Keane?
Yeah, hoping Daniel Ennis is elected and that we have a very strong showing in Galway West as well with Meadhe and Ginnilock.
Great. Oh, predict the two. Go on. Neck on the block.
I would say, I think Janice Boylan in Dublin Central and in Galway. Labour are very confident of their candidate, Councillor Ogbu, and a lot of people on the independent side of the house are saying that name to me. I find it hard to believe, but I'll put it on the record here now, just in case they turn out to be right.
There we go. Against your best wishes. Yeah. Well, we're going to be crossing to Galway West next. Lynn Boylan and Keane O'Callaghan, Craig Hughes, thanks a million for joining us this morning.
The 2026 by-elections with Sean Defoe on News Talk.
You are very welcome back. Happy by-election day to all who celebrate. I'm joined in studio now by Louise Byrne, Irish Examiner, political correspondent, Conor Lenihan, former Fianna Fáil minister, and Stephen O'Leary, founder of Olitico, to talk Galway West. Thank you to all of you for joining me. Before we get into the weeds on Galway, Conor, I mean, 100 years of Fianna Fáil, you were at the Ardèche, what, last week was it? And it looks as though the party could well finish in single digits.
Yeah, I think it's not going to be a good day, I'd imagine, for any of the government parties, with the exception perhaps of a slight possibility that Sean Kyne might win it for Fine Gael in Galway. So I think, broadly speaking, certainly for the government parties, it won't be a good day. With one potential exception, as I say, of Sean Kyne, won't be a good day for Fianna Fáil. And obviously it's going to lead to a lot more thinking on the party's part in relation to the leadership of the party. Because clearly, you know, if you end up, as predicted here, in single digits in one constituency, Dublin Central, and you end up in just barely making double digits, 10% in Galway, that's really not where Fianna Fáil should be in electoral terms, facing into a general election in a few years' time and local elections beforehand.
It did seem to strike me last weekend that, you know, you're celebrating 100 years and all the achievements of Fianna Fáil and the massive electoral success of the past, and that yet it was kind of a muted response. A lot of people I spoke to said, oh, sure, Killian Keane is only 25, he's only starting out, we don't do well in Dublin Central anymore anyway. There was sort of more passive acceptance of it than the anger you might have expected in years past that Fianna Fáil would be doing so badly.
Yeah, well, there was a great outpouring, I think, when we had a by-election where we only scored about 5% in Dublin South East some years back. And I think people will reflect on these results because, you know, there's no point holding on to the fiction that they're going to be a big party again if you're recording these kind of results, you know. And so, you know, one of the ironies, of course, with Micheál Martin's tenureship is that, you know, the vote hasn't really got back to where the party is still a medium-sized party as opposed to a large party. And, you know, the ambition of everybody, I suppose, that joins Fianna Fáil is that it would be a big party again, playing very dominant roles in governments. And, you know, obviously the party's got used to the idea of sharing power and coalitions and stuff. But I think the ambition levels could be an awful lot higher. And I think the fact that they're already minimising the prospects of even winning or doing well in these elections tells its own story, that they're simply not at the races in these contests.
Is Micheál Martin in any immediate danger if these are particularly bad today, or do you think the EU presidency has, sort of has him as a get-out-of-jail-free card for 6 months?
Yes, well, that seems to be the case, yeah. That's the orthodox wisdom. When I talk to my colleagues down in the Dáil, when I manage to go in there from time to time, yeah, the accepted orthodox wisdom that there won't be a move against him while we're waiting for this presidency of the EU to take place. So, you know, that's the expectation. And then I suppose at some point during that presidency, Mr. Martin may perhaps plan his own exit from the stage. I don't know. You know, these things are impossible to predict. Of course, there are many people within the parliamentary party who are opposed to him and very paranoid at the same time. And they think that maybe he's buying time to get to the end of the presidency. And then when you get to the end of the presidency, he'll buy time by saying, we're not before Christmas. And then before you know it, you're into the new year. And he says, I might just stay on, you know. So, you know, that's the nature of politics. You can't exactly predict in these matters, but there seems to be a very significant cohort or number of TDs within the parliamentary party that are very much definitely of the view that he should move on and go. And so you would have noticed also, if you were at the Ardesh, that there was a rather tepid ovation given to him after his speech. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the belly aching roar of previous years that were given, you know, to leaders of one kind and the other. So,
despite a few pints being sunk by the crowd before they went into there, I might add as well. And paranoia in Fianna Fáil, I'm shocked to think that would be ever the case. Let's get into Galway West now. Our reporter Emily Keegan is over there and she's been speaking to some of those people yesterday who were casting their vote in Salt Hill as to what way they went.
I voted for Sean Kine, number one. I just want the bypass built in Galway and I know his party agrees with it, so even though I don't agree with the party's beliefs or views, but I want the bypass, so.
I voted Conservative. Well, I think the main parties, like the bigger main parties, they're just disconnected. I feel utterly betrayed.
Number one, Niall Murphy. Okay. Two, Ogbu. Three, Kine. I would have voted one for Kine if he wasn't Fine Gael.
Ogbu number one and two, Sean Kine. I have voted Labour all my life and I'm not going to stop now.
Voted fairly independent, yeah, not with a big party, because I feel like the track record over the last few years hasn't been great. So,
what are
yeah.
the key issues, whether it's for your constituency, for the country, that were in your mind going into the polling booth?
Yeah, just the usual national ones, nothing kind of too locally based, I would say, considering it's for the Dáil.
The people who came to the door answered me honestly what their policies were and what way they were going to go.
Some of the voters in Salt Hill there, speaking to our reporter Emily Keegan. I'm joined now on the line by the Minister for Enterprise, Tourism and Employment, Peter Burke, who's been the Director of Elections for Fine Gael candidate Sean Kine. Thanks for joining us this morning, Minister. Well, you heard it there in the Vox. More people would have voted Sean Kine if he wasn't Fine Gael.
Well, we ran a very positive campaign here in Galway for Sean Kine. You can see by the numbers that were out supporting him right throughout volunteers, right throughout the party, with huge numbers out canvassing. So we've been very positive and hopefully that will come out in the results. Obviously it's very early days down here with about 40 boxes just been opened, but you can see he's polling pretty strongly from what I can see in the boxes I saw so far.
Mm. And I suppose one of the other striking things about that box there was people going, you know, left 1-2 and then maybe Fine Gael 3, which would be unusual, I guess, in terms of the transfer patterns, though they may be stranger this time. He's the biggest name in the field. Do you think he is going to get there? Because traditionally you would have said government party, 15 years in power, very hard to get transfers there.
Well, if you look at the last 30 by-elections, I think 3 of them were won by government parties. That's 1 in every 10. So that shows you how difficult it is for government. And obviously, when you're in government, you're making decisions. And when you're making decisions, people always disagree with the decision you make and some people agree, so it's going to be difficult in terms of to get across the line, because 50% plus one, it's a long way in a by-election, but we're going to do our very best. You can see from the polling a lot of the voting ballot papers, there's a very diverse voting pattern that's going across them. So it's very interesting to see that Helen Ogbu seems to be doing pretty strongly in a lot of the city boxes. And yet you can see in another city box that Noel Thomas is coming through strong enough. So it's very difficult to say. It's just so early here and the voting patterns are very fragmented, like the political landscape, one would say.
Yeah, and look, it's definitely difficult, particularly this early in the morning. There's another stat, since the 1990s, so across those 30 by-elections you've been talking about, the average first preference vote share for the winner has been 20%.
29.7%, so almost 30%. This time, I would find it hard to imagine any candidate is going to breach 20% in Galway, which just means one, a long count, but also very hard really to see where this goes.
Yeah, it is very difficult, and I would concur with that. It's very difficult to see anyone getting above 20%. But when we look from Fine Gael's perspective, you know, we got 19% in the general election. Hopefully we'll be holding that, and that's important for the party because our objective here was very key in Dublin and in Galway is to be in a good challenging position for two seats at next general election in Galway and obviously cement former Finance Minister Pascal Donoghue's seat in Dublin Central. So that's been the target for the party. So it's important that we achieve those objectives through the process.
Mm. If not Sean Kyne today in Galway, then who else do you think is in with a shake of taking that seat?
I'd be pretty confident if it's not Sean, it would come from the left, I think. So it's a matter of who is ahead on the left. Sinn Féin and Helen Ogbu would look to me are neck and neck on the left in boxes. But the critical thing when you go into Connemara, what happens then? And that's where it's very difficult to predict because the 40 boxes that have been opened here that we're discussing are all city boxes. So when you go into the rural landscape and you go up to North and South Connemara, it's very difficult to see who will emerge there. And that can change the complexion. But I would think the way the left are transferring in general, whoever's in front will also be the big challenger.
Finally, Minister, you spent a lot of time obviously in Galway over the last little while and the fuel protests were particularly huge in Galway, what about a month ago or so? But it doesn't seem that that anger has sort of stuck through and really affected turnout or necessarily rallied behind someone like Noel Thomas. Perhaps it was different on the ground and you saw something different to what I saw.
No, I don't think so. And we had a very positive campaign, as I have said. We really went, you know, on a positive message about infrastructure development here. Obviously, the fuel protests were a very significant point in our political landscape. And I would say that the response by the government equally was very strong in terms of the €750 million package. And that has, you know, really cemented, I think, people's reasonable view that we're doing our best and we want to keep some firepower for the winter, which will be the big challenge in time. And obviously, with so many, you know, uncertain geopolitical events happening on a daily basis, you do need to have firepower to ensure you can support vulnerable citizens through the winter.
Okay, Minister Peter Burke, thanks a million for joining us from Galway there. Might hear from the Minister as well throughout the day. Still joined in studio by Conor Lennon, Louise Byrne, Stephen O'Leary. Louise, you were making a bit of a face there as the Minister was talking. About what in particular, what prediction were you disagreeing with?
Apologies to Minister Burke, I didn't realise. The coffee hasn't gotten into my veins just yet. Well, I think I'm glad I'm not in Galway in the first instance because it doesn't look like they're going to have a first count there until 6 p.m. this evening. Oh. So it's just going to be a lot of waiting around. But I think what surprised me was the fact that he was saying that Labour's Helen Ogbu and Sinn Féin's Mark Lohan seemed to be pulling kind of a similar vote because that was not the Sinn Féin expectation. They were kind of putting all their eggs in Janice Boylan's basket in Dublin Central. So I think if that is the case, and I think Minister Burke is right in saying that the city boxes are going to be very different to the Connemara boxes because it's a mad constituency. It's so vast. And even I was down there last week and trying to organise to get out canvassing with people is near impossible because you were trying to kind of get a few in over the course of a day and you'd be in Galway City at 2 o'clock and the next thing someone would want you in Connemara at 2:30. And I mean, there's complexities, not just for us trying to cover it, but also for the candidates trying to cover ground. How do you make sure that you're meeting the people in, you know, Salt Hill, but you're also meeting them in, you know, Connemara and all these places with very different issues? You know, if you talk about Galway, you talk about the city, you talk about the light rail. If you go out to more rural areas, you're talking about farming. And then I guess it's the universal kind of themes as well, the cost of living that affects everyone. So it's difficult. So I think it's going to be an interesting day in Galway. A long day.
A long day.
A long day.
Potentially a long weekend, alone a long day. Stephen O'Leary of Politico, that getting out on the doors is obviously one of the more difficult bit, but the online battle this time around is particularly interesting. And I think it will be interesting to see whether it has made that difference for the likes of, say, the Soc Dems, who are a very heavily online party and look to probably do quite well in both of these elections.
Yeah, the social, I think, fallout from this are certainly the analysis post-election is going to be really interesting to look at because the two constituencies do operate in very different ways and the social approach has been quite different in both. But certainly if you were calling like a winner, right, or a campaign that got it right, the Soc Dems were definitely the ones who got it right in Dublin. We saw this coming through really in terms of their approach and a real kind of like digital first approach from a candidate point of view. So the big difference you see now versus 5 years ago is that 5 years ago, a lot of the political campaigns on social looked like traditional ad campaigns, right? Highly polished videos, you know, rehearsed maybe weeks in production, right? They were literally like almost the old TV ads, but on a social network. What you're seeing with candidates today, especially the successful ones are, it's much more like a creator, right? It's first person, low production value, quick turnaround, authentic, all the things that you expect when you're consuming creator content. So when it shows up in your feed, it doesn't jar as political content. It doesn't feel you're being served a political message. You feel like you're consuming what you'd consume from a journalist or a broadcaster or a former politician, whoever it might be, right? It feels like it is that type of content that will naturally kind of come through. But the age divide is also an interesting thing here. Because, you know, the point has been made about sort of maybe that kind of rural and urban vote in Galway. We're certainly going to probably see that come through on social too. So if you were judging it right now in Galway, Helen Ogbu would probably be your winner based on social because of the amount of organic buzz and enthusiasm there's been around her. But we have plenty of examples from the recent past where that really strong excitement on social hasn't converted into getting people out to actually vote. That's the key question here. Will you see that social content convert into
actual votes and scores on the doors? We will see. We're going to get a bit of an update from those count centres on what the early tallies are telling us after this break.
The 2026 by-elections with Sean Defoe on News Talk.
Now, let's get over to the Galway West Count Centre. Emily Keegan is there. Emily, obviously, boxes open about 45 minutes now. What are the early tallies telling us?
Yeah, so as you would have heard Minister Peter Burke saying there, it's looking very strong for Fine Gael's Sean Kine and Labour's Ogbu. They're polling quite high. It's fluctuating between the two in the early tallies so far. And as the Minister said, it is just the city boxes open at the minute. So that is likely to change. It's also kind of what we expected to see based off of the opinion polls. And we knew that Fine Gael, Independent Ireland and Labour were going to tally quite high up. It all really comes down to how transfer friendly a lot of them are because, I mean, Independent Ireland Noel Thomas, while he's doing well now in the early stages of the first count votes, the opinion polls said only 7% of people were likely to give them their number two. So it's really going to come down to transfers here, and then it's going to looking already like it's going to be a tough fight between Fine Gael and Labour here in Galway West.
Okay, Emily Keegan, thanks a million for keeping us up to date on that. We'll go to Dublin Central there. Barry White, we're back to you, and you've had again about 45 minutes of tallies. Can you tell us anything new?
Hi, Sean. Look, it's very early days here in terms of tallies. The boxes being opened in Cointon currently seem to be more focused on the north inner city area of the Dublin Central constituency. So probably the area where Jerry the Monk Hutch would be expected to be doing well if he had any chance of winning this. But currently from the tallies, they do have actually a very good tally system. The parties are working together here. And from the current tallies they've given to me, Janice Boylan Sinn Féin, 19%. Daniel Ennis, Sock Dem, 17%. Jerry Hutch, 13%. Janet Horner from the Green Party, 12%. Ray McAdam, Fine Gael, 10%. And Malachy Steenson, Independent, 9%. So it's very much in line with the opinion poll we had just over a week ago that this was a two-horse race between Sinn Féin's Janice Boylan and the Sock Dem's Daniel Ennis. Early days, but it looks like that poll was spot on, and it looks like it's between two people here so far. Jerry the Monk Hutch not doing as well as he would have hoped to do in the north inner city area.
Okay, Barry White, we'll be hearing from you again throughout the day there in Dublin Central. Louise, I suppose no massive surprise there. And then I think this is a fascinating ultimate transfer battle where you're going to have the eliminations probably of Fine Gael and Hutch electing one of the Sock Dems and Sinn Féin.
Yeah, I think that's quite likely. I'm interesting to hear how well Janet Horner is pulling ahead because...
Yeah, there is a subplot of the Greens doing quite well here.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, there was a Green Party seat there until the last general election, Nat Hergen obviously losing her seat. So, and well, this is what a lot of people in the Greens, and like you get this as well, Sean, all the parties coming up going, oh, it's going really well.
Yeah.
We're getting a really good reception. Like, we could definitely win this. And the Greens were saying that and you were kind of going, yeah. But I did actually think Janet Horner was going to do better than expected. I think the transfers are going to be fascinating here. Malachy Steenson pulling quite well ahead at 9%.
Yeah.
On the very early tallies, like Barry said, it's, you know, it's only 10 to 10. So we've a long day ahead of us. I think they're expecting the first count there about lunchtime when we'll get the full official view. But I mean, if Malachy Steenson is eliminated, we saw the kind of transfers that went to Jared Hutch from him in the general election 2024. So I don't think he's going to win. I think Barry is right. It's between the Social Democrats and Sinn Féin. But I do think it's going to be a case of we won't get any real push one way or the other until, you know, the 8th, maybe 7th count, when that's when they're expecting Ona Canavan of People Before Profit to be knocked out. So his transfers could really set the day.
Change the game. And they went heavily Sock Dems in the general election. Joined on the line now by the former Fine Gael Minister, Michael Ring. Michael, obviously a former by-election candidate in 1994, former by-election winner, I should say, rather than candidate. Only three candidates, I believe, in that by-election back then. Michael, it feels like very different to today when we're going to be counting until God knows when in Galway.
Yeah, I think we had more than three, but it was great to win it, and I won it against the odds at the time. And I think Sean Kine could do the same thing today. If Sean Kine wins this by-election today, it's one of the best achievements in politics for a long time, because no government party for many, many, many years have won a by-election. And if Sean wins this by-election, and even to be in the running, I think it's a good day for Fine Gael. And even to see Ray McAdam at 10%, it's a very good vote at the moment for him, and I know he probably gets stronger as the day goes on. And I think it's a good day for Fine Gael. It shows that the party are very much alive. And I actually did canvass in Galway West, and I'm very confident about Sean Kine, because not what anybody had a bad word to say about him. If they weren't given the number one, they were given the number two. And I think he's in with a real chance today to win that seat.
Okay, Michael Ring, listen, thanks a minute for joining us. Sorry, the line not amazing there. And certainly people in Fine Gael are talking up Sean Kine's chances in the early tallies. Also on the line, Marie Sherlock, Labour Party TD for Dublin Central, who obviously in that dramatic fashion beat out Gerry Hutch in the general election. Marie, how do you see today going in Dublin Central? It looks to be, again, a pretty straight shootout between the Sock Dems and Sinn Féin.
Good morning. Well, look, it is, and we only have 15% of the boxes open at the moment, but certainly on the basis of those boxes, which are very heavily concentrated in the inner city and over in the northeast and the northwest inner city, we see that that Daniel Ennis and Janice Boylan are practically neck and neck with Gerard Hutch in third position at this point in time. But of course, that may all change once the boxes from the more northern end of the constituency, from Cabergass, Nevin, from Condra, Phibsborough, are open. But certainly, I think there is no great surprises here at the moment anyway in Dublin Central. Looking at the boxes so far, we do expect that it will be down to Janice Boylan versus Daniel Ennis. Although what I would say is that from the box that I've seen, the Green candidate Janet Horner appears to be doing better than maybe some of the polling would have suggested 2 weeks ago when we saw that poll of the constituency. But it's certainly still eagerly awaiting those boxes. I think the other big story is, of course, the turnout in Dublin Central, which, of course, is one of the, I think, the only constituency in the country to see an increase in turnout in the last general election, over 50%. We understand turnout is about 40%. And, of course, we know that some of the register was cleaned, if I can put it like that. Lots of people registered who maybe no longer live in the constituency. So turnout may actually be even lower again compared with, November 2024. But certainly, we still only have, not even halfway in terms of opening the boxes. And I think it'll become clear over the next hour where we are then.
Okay, Marie Sherlock, thanks for joining us there. Actually, on the turnout, briefly, we've got 40%-ish in Dublin Central, 44.5 in Galway West, and people are saying, oh God, that's terrible. It's actually better than I think a lot of people thought would be, because if you look through the 2010s when there was by-elections, the average drop from a general election to a by-election was 24 points in terms of turnout. It's only about 12 in each of those. So yeah, not great still, but it's better than some. Connor, I suppose final thoughts on where you think both of these are going. Like, can Sean Kine pull it off? And if you were to pick between Janice Boylan and the Sock Dems, if you were to put a bit of money on it, where would you be going?
My Ring is a good friend, but I think he's been a tad optimistic about the prospects for Kine. Unfortunately for the government parties, that as you go on in the counts and you boil and distill all the transfers down, they tend to go left. And and in fact, the most notable feature of the fuel protest, and indeed the initiation of this government, the big controversy about how the speaking rights would be allocated, you're seeing a very strong unity amongst the left-wing parties and candidates. They know now who to transfer to. It's not the case of the kind of that fragmentation has led to sort of weirder transfer patterns. In fact, there's a very big consolidation of left-wing transfers in these camps. So I don't see it going Kine's way. I'd like to see it going his way. I think he's a very nice fellow. I met him down in Ballykeneely last year and think, you know, and he really is quite a good representative and is on schedule, I suppose, with a result like this to win a seat in a general election. But I can't see this going the government way. I think that's the frustrating thing about even in my own constituency. Many years ago, we used to always be amazed. We thought Pat Rabbit would lose his seat several times. And as the counts kind of unfolded into the 8th, 9th count, he would get transfers from, you know, the combined left-wing independent type. They'll get a fair share of them. But it could be a cliffhanger in both constituencies. I think Gary Gannon, I know Gary very well, and I've talked to him a lot in the Dáil when I meet him, and he's been predicting this result for the Social Democrats for quite a long time. And one of the things that I would say that stands in their favour, which is sometimes not analysed in the coverage, is that the Social Democrats, as I understand it, have a councillor in each of the ward areas here. And that's a huge thing to have going into an election, because if you're covered in all of the ward areas, you have a kind of reach where it wouldn't be normally possible. And as you know, most TDs don't actually put much effort into by-elections because they're afraid they're afraid that they might end up having themselves usurped. But in fairness to Gary Gannon, he's put huge work in.
Well, that matches onto social, because what you then get is this, again, network effect. So having those representatives in each of the ward, it's not just about the people on the ground. It's also the social amplification effect. Each of those individual people have got their own social accounts. They've got their own social teams. So what that does is collectively it raises up the profile on social of the one candidate that's running. So yes, you get the benefit in terms of how you canvass and that local representation, but it transfers online too.
So very, your brief final predictions is going to be the social sweep of the Sock Dems and maybe Labour in Galway West?
Certainly based on social data, yes. But again, the key caveat is that social content and social performance doesn't always match in terms of turnout. And the low turnout mitigates to an extent that social impact.
And Louise, in a word for both constituencies?
I think it probably will be Labour's Helen Ogbu in Galway West. I think she will benefit from transfers. And I don't know Dublin Central. I just think it's going to be very close. It's going to be one of two.
If you had to predict it and put a fiver on,
I'll probably say Daniel Ennis.
All right. Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll hold you to that later on. My thanks, Louise Byrne, Conor Lennon, and Stephen O'Leary. Thanks for joining us.
The 2026 by-elections with Sean Defoe.
This is News Talk.
Quality proteins aren't just for special occasions. With Omaha Steaks, you get mouth-watering proteins delivered right to your door. Individually packaged and portioned, so a great dinner is just minutes away. From Taco Tuesday to a weekend feast, taste the Omaha Steaks difference. Start getting flavorful proteins delivered today. Visit omahasteaks.com and get $35 off with promo code AUDIO at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, code AUDIO. Terms apply. See site for details.